Dear saints, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I remember when I was a little child playing various sports when I was younger. The earliest memory I have of this is when we were real little, just a little older than Ronan, a little younger than Toby. We'd play soccer when we were like preschool age. And essentially, my memory is of us being by a soccer field, running around a tennis court on the outside of the fence, learning how to control the soccer ball to get a little bit more coordinated. Because as it is, as children, we're often not all that coordinated to begin with. We need help learning not to fall down. We need help learning to stand and walk. And when it comes to sports, we need to learn to do the things required of us. For soccer, that's dribbling the ball between your feet. For basketball, that's bouncing the ball. They call that dribbling too. And there it is. We learn to become a bit more coordinated, and some of us a little less, some of us a little more. But there it is. We learn. We grow. And the goal of these sports is threefold. It's there to learn a sportsmanship, you know, be kind and courteous to your neighbors. And there it is also to learn to work together as a team. But as St. Paul points out, as he's talking about running a race, that there it is, our goal is to be the best, to win the game. For running the race, that's being first over the finish line. And many sports will have first, second, and third, and they stop counting after that. And when you're playing a team sport, the goal is for you to win, to get the ball in the hoop, kick the ball in the net, or the puck, hit it with a stick past the goalie into the net. And last night, we had the opportunity to see the Phantoms play down in Youngstown. Toby and I got to see the game, and I took up the opportunity for free tickets to a hockey game. It's my favorite sport. And there it is. We got to watch the Phantoms play the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders from Iowa. And there it is. It was fun because it's our first hockey game for this particular type of league. And we didn't have any, you know, team that we were specifically tied to. But, you know, we were rooting for the Youngstown team because that's where we live. But it was fun because I got to see and evaluate each team. And both teams were really good, which was fun because it meant the game was a fast-paced, fun game to watch. And I got to notice that the Rough Riders had a really good goalie. Their number 35 was very good. And I noticed that our goalie for the Phantoms, number 30, he was a bit slower on the uptake for the game. It took him a little while to warm up. And then the second goalie that was placed in the third period for the Rough Riders, he was a bit slower moving than the first goalie. It was fun to see that. And we got to see the teamwork between each team and how they communicated and how they worked and built themselves up to serve those three goals, to be teamwork and sportsmanship, and to win the game. And the first two support the last in many ways. And yet, in the midst of it, from both teams, we got to see the lack of sportsmanship. And what was unique was there was a lack of sportsmanship even among the umpires for this game. It was very unique. It wasn't something I had seen in many sports games prior to last night. And while there was unsportsmanship-like conduct from both sides, seeing the level at which the Phantoms took that unsportsmanship was disheartening. They won the game, but it almost felt like they won it undeservedly. And that was hard to watch. And yet, Toby, he was super excited. He's like, this was the best thing ever. He had such much fun, and it was fun to watch. But it was disheartening because you want to see the right thing be done and the right thing be done right. And it wasn't. As Christians, we see St. Paul talk about the same thing in our reading for today, as he speaks to the Corinthians. Because, see, as sinners, we fall short of doing the right thing. It is our nature to do the wrong thing and be unsportsman, to be unkind to our neighbor. And I get that during the games, there's oftentimes the refs and umpires, they miss things. But how we respond to those moments makes all the difference. It's the same thing for how we live our lives as Christians and how pastors do what they're called to do. And so St. Paul puts it this way. He says, "For if I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting." You see, in sports, often what happens is that the people playing the sports find a reason to either boast in themselves or their team and find out why they're better than the next player. But St. Paul says, as far as the gospel is concerned, he cannot boast. "For necessity is laid upon me," he says. "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward, but not of my own will. I'm still entrusted with a stewardship. What then is my reward? That in my preaching I may present the gospel free of charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel." You see, in sports, there's something that's owed, something that must be done, and in order to be part of it, you must pay to be part of it in a lot of cases. But here it is for St. Paul. He goes, it's free. He goes, it's not of his will or his doing that he boasts. It's not of his will that he has a reward. Though in this life there are earthly rewards, he points to. But he says, as far as the gospel is concerned, it's not of his own doing that he has a reward. And he says his reward as a preacher is that he gets to preach the gospel, that he gets to give people in regards of what Christ has done on the cross there, that there, as his body and blood is given and shed, he gets to be there giving the countenance to sin, death, and Satan's tyranny, that there it is. They get the gospel. There is forgiveness, salvation, life eternal for the Corinthians, and there is forgiveness, salvation, and life eternal for you, found in Christ Jesus. This is the gospel. And here is what he says. "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." Here it is, St. Paul is talking about what a pastor does in service of the people God has given him. And he's talking about how he's meeting people where they're at. He's going to places others might not go, right? So for those who are under the law, the Jews, when he preached the gospel in his day, he'd preach to them and meet them where they were at, in the worst of situations, in the circumstances they may have created for themselves, trying to fulfill the law of their own accord. He'd bring them the gospel, the freedom that is in Christ Jesus, who fulfilled the law for them. But he'd go and meet them where they were. And there it is that for those outside the laws, those who were the Gentiles, he goes and does that. And we see this elsewhere in his writings as he is visiting in the Roman temples. He comes across a god, a Greek and Roman god, that is marked the unnamed god. And he tells the people there, he goes, "Look, I know who this is, this god you call unnamed." He goes on to tell them of the god who created the world, who there frees them from the bondage of sin and death, and there comes in the flesh and dies for them and gives them forgiveness and salvation and life eternal. And there he gives them the gospel. And this was St. Paul's unique ability, because in his family lineage, he was both Jew and Gentile. His family, he had both. And as far as being a Jew, he was a Pharisee. And as far as being those in Rome, he held to his citizenship. And there it is. In all the realms he went where he needed to be. As pastors, we often go to places others can't or won't go. I remember during COVID especially, when going to the hospitals, people were worried, "Pastor, I'm sure they won't let you in to see people." And we go to the hospitals and they'd let us in and say, "It is okay, I will go." And there were times where some hospitals pushed back a little, but in the end, they knew that part of the health of the patient was their spiritual needs. And so they'd have us garb up like the nurses and special gowns and masks and gloves and all of that. And we'd go in to where the sickness was. As St. Paul became like those who were in need under the law, as he became like those who were outside the law, as he became weak for the weak, we go to those darkest of corners as pastors for one purpose, not of our own glory or to say we've been there and done that, but we go to bring the gospel, to bring the forgiveness of sins as our great gift and reward. And so we go to those corners. And we got to see a bit of this being an old thing that God himself does and gives to the priest to do, as we read in Bible study today, the story of Abraham as he's talking to the Lord under the Mamre tree and walking with him towards Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, the Lord was going to the deepest and darkest place on earth, of which he got complaints from humans and angels of the terror that took place in those two towns. And as the Lord goes, Abraham follows. As the one who was given the promise and the one given the responsibility to preach that gospel, he walked with the Lord and he stood before the Lord on behalf of those who might live there who believe, such as his nephew Lot. And there we got to see the Lord give the example of going and meeting people where they were. And in this case, we know Sodom and Gomorrah, they don't make it, but the Lord saves Lot and his family, and he keeps to his promise to Abraham to save the righteous. And there for us, we see that righteousness is given not by our own doing and not by the doing of the preacher, but rather by the doing of Christ. And this is why we come to church each week. We come to church not because of who the pastor is. We come to church because of who Christ is and to hear his word preached. And here it is that we receive that salvation. And it's as St. Paul goes on to speak of, it's like a race, this life, as we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, as David calls it in Psalm 23. And St. Paul says here, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize?" This is the way earthly competition is, isn't it? We run the race to win and be the best, and only one gets first prize. Only one team wins the top spot. And to put that in hockey terms, only one team wins the Stanley Cup each year. And this year is not going to be my Blackhawks, okay? They are in bad shape. But there it is. One team wins the glory in this life. But he goes on to tell us how it's not the same with Jesus. "So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one." Here, this gift of Christ that we're running to obtain is not of our doing, but of Jesus. And he's won the victory. The victory for the Corinthians, the victory for St. Paul, the victory for each and every one of you. That there in him, his body and blood was given and shed for you. to cover your sins, to bring you forgiveness, to give you that salvation, and to give you life everlasting. This is the imperishable wreath of the gospel that St. Paul's speaking of. So that there you do not run aimlessly, you follow the word of God, you follow Christ alone. And there he says, I do not box as one beating the air. Right? If you're boxing, it does no good just to box nothing. Even in practice, they have the bags that you practice on. But here it is. He says, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. He says, look, he follows the Lord's word. He keeps and reads it and trusts in the Lord. So that there, the same gospel he's giving to you would also be heard by his ears. The same gospel I preach, I hear as well. And there it is, that promise that Christ has died for you. And we see this in our gospel lesson today. Jesus is standing there in the midst of someone who is sick. He's gone to that dark corner with Simon to see Simon's mother-in-law. She's sick with a fever. And we all wish we could have these moments. You know, Jesus walking in the flesh, God in the flesh, was able to bring immediate there in those moments. And it's not that that doesn't happen in our day and age, but oftentimes our healing comes a bit slower as we await for the return of Christ. But here the Lord, as he had done for others, reaches down to Simon's mother-in-law and lifts her up out of bed, and the fever is healed immediately. And what does she do? She goes about serving. She does exactly as every mother and wife does well. She cares for those that God has given. She fulfills her vocation. And I know in our day and age, if you see the news or the internet, you'll hear jokes about how husbands don't do service of people all that well. But see, we should not be lazy in our duties and our vocations. As husbands, we should serve our spouses. And there's times where as husbands, we had to say to our spouse, go, rest, take a break. I got the kids, I got to do this. And we care for them. We care for those under our care. And here, that's what happens as we go throughout life. When the Lord gives us healing, when he brings us back to where we need to be, what's our job? To go back serving as God has called us to do, whether that's as parents, as children, as spouses, as husbands, as wives, as those living and serving the Lord in our jobs, we go and we do them for his service. As we read in our large catechism today, right? That there it is. That the commandment calls us not only on Sundays to be here and on holy days to be here, hearing the word of God and devoting this time, but in every day we are to follow the Lord and hear his word and have it be part of who we are. And that's what we see Jesus give back to Simon's mother-in-law, this ability to do as he's called. And this is what the Lord does as he calls us in the waters of baptism and marks us with the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit upon our foreheads and upon our hearts. There it is that he calls us his children and he gives us faith and marks us as one redeemed by Christ crucified. That there, as we receive the Lord's Supper, his body and blood runs in our veins until the next time we receive it. That there it is, as taught by the saints of old, the gospel. The promise of what Christ has given. That there you would know that you are a child of God. And there as he calls you and he saves you. And now he works in you with his spirit to sanctify you. That you could serve to the best of your ability and the vocations and the duties he gives to you in this life. Because while we don't always get this immediate healing, there is a time when Christ will return. And there it is, as Christ shall return on the clouds with the trumpet sound, he will wake the dead. He will raise us out of the grave and unite our souls to our bodies once again and heal our flesh, that there we would receive eternal life from him. That there, as he has given, we shall receive this great gift and benefit. That those of us who are still walking on that day that the trumpet sounds, he shall raise us up and heal our flesh to join those who were gone on before us. And there, for those who believe on that judgment day, he shall usher us into his kingdom, where he has set a place in his Father's house for you, a room set for you, a place at the table set for you, of which we get the foretaste of the feast that is to come at that table in the Lord's Supper. This is where the race shall end. And while in earthly life only one receives the goal, the prize, Christ is the one who won the victory. And it is he to whom you are united by God's will that you would receive the prize, the victory with him, a salvation and eternal life. In this life, we like to do games. Yesterday, as I was driving, I was listening to a podcast, the modern day radio shows, and they were talking about this cruise they went on that they found out they wished they knew more. They had done a bunch of research, but they didn't know all the stuff that the people going on the cruise would do, these games that people set up to do among all those who had paid to be on the cruise, just something fun between them that the people running the cruise didn't have to worry about. And one of those things was a door decorating contest. And he said he didn't know that there was a game afoot. Because see, as people, we like to be part of these games, part of sports, a part of the fun and the action. And we like to win the prizes. And he was walking by the door one day as somebody was walking out of the room that won the prize. And all he could do in that moment was rejoice with them that they had won. And they talked about the beautiful artwork they had done for their door in their cabin. And he said next time he goes on the cruise, he'll know that the game is afoot and he will participate. We like to do that. Well, you see, the game is afoot, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. And Christ has fulfilled and won the prize for you. That there you would receive from him, as the gospel shares with you, the forgiveness of sins, salvation, and life eternal. That there where we once were weak and dead in our sins and trespasses, now you are alive with Christ, and his victory is yours. For there he gives you what he has promised, a seat at his feast, a place in his Father's house, where you shall rest with him for all eternity. So may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.